turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the custom king of the SEO show.
I want you to close your eyes for a second. Just imagine you're walking down a busy street in a city you've never been to before.
Okay, I'm there.
It's lunchtime, you're hungry, and you're looking for a sandwich.
Yeah.
You see a storefront across the street, but the windows are kind of grimy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The sign above the door is cracked, faded. And honestly, you can't even tell if the open sign in the window is actually turned on or if it's just been, you know, sitting there since 1999.
Yeah, no.
Do you cross the street and go in?
Absolutely not. I keep walking. I mean, I'm not risking my lunch on a place that looks like it doesn't care.
Exactly. You keep walking until you find the place that looks bright, clean, busy, welcoming.
Right.
Now, take that physical, visceral gut reaction and move it to the screen in your hand. That is the concept of the digital storefront.
That's a great way to put it.
And in 2026, that storefront isn't your website anymore. It isn't your Instagram page. It is your Google business profile.
It's the perfect analogy because today, right now, that profile is the gatekeeper. It is the deciding factor. It determines whether a customer walks through your virtual door or scrolls right past you to a competitor who looks just a little bit more...
alive.
Alive, exactly. More active.
And yet, and this is the part of the research we have today that honestly blew my mind, most business owners treat this profile like a digital phone book entry from 20 years ago.
Yeah, they really do.
They claim the listing, maybe add a phone number, toss in a logo, and then they just ghost it. They just leave it there to gather digital dust.
It's the classic set it and forget it mentality. And right. What we're going to find out in this deep dive is that this mentality is actively costing businesses money.
Real money.
Yes. And I don't mean, you know, brand awareness or likes. We are talking about missed phone calls, lost direction requests, and sales going to the guy down the street.
Simply because his digital lights are on and yours aren't.
Precisely.
So, to stop the bleeding, we're doing a deep dive into a really comprehensive guide published today, actually, March 2, 2026.
Fresh off the digital press.
Yeah. It's titled, How to Optimize Your Google Business Profile in 2026. And it comes from Austin Code Monkey, which is an Austin-based SEO and AI search optimization company.
And what I really appreciate about this source material is that it acknowledges the date. We are in 2026.
Things are different.
Search has changed fundamentally. It's not just about typing keywords into a box anymore.
Right.
It's about AI, it's about voice search, and it's about this hyper-local context we all live in now.
So our mission today is to move way beyond the basics. We're going to assume you know how to type your business name into a form.
Hopefully.
We want to get into the mechanics of optimization, you know, the specific levers you can pull to drive local rankings. But before we get into the how, we need to understand the who. Who are we actually trying to impress here? I mean, is it just the algorithm?
Well, yes, but it's more specific than that. Optimization is really about improving that free business listing to increase your visibility in two very specific places.
Local search results and Google Maps.
Exactly. And the algorithm judges you on three specific pillars. If you understand these, you win.
Okay, the guide calls these relevance, distance, and prominence. Let's break those down because they sound a bit academic.
They do, but they're highly practical. So distance is the easy one. It's simply how far the user is standing from your business at the moment they search.
Right.
You can't control that. Unless you plan on putting your office on wheels and following people around. You are where you are.
Which means if I'm 10 miles away, I'm probably not seeing you for coffee shop near me search.
Exactly. But the other two, relevance and prominence, those are completely within your control. And they're how you overcome the distance factor.
Okay, so what's relevance in this context?
Relevance is simply, does your profile match what the user is looking for?
Makes sense.
If I search for 24-hour emergency plumber, and your profile just says general contractor and doesn't mention plumbing or 24-hour service anywhere,
you aren't relevant.
You're invisible.
Okay. And prominence. This kind of sounds like a popularity contest.
In a way, it is. Prominence is trust. It's how well-known and credible you appear to be online.
Got it.
This is where reviews, activity, photos, external links all come into play. When we talk about optimization, we're really talking about maximizing relevance and prominence.
So that Google trusts you enough to show you to someone, even if there's a competitor slightly closer geographically.
You nailed it.
So let's visualize this for the listener. If I'm a user pulling out my phone right now to find a service, what does a fully optimized profile actually look like? What are the signals that tell me, yep, this is the one?
It hits you instantly. First, you see the verified checkmark, basic trust. Then you look at the hours. And I don't just mean 9 to 5.
Right.
I'm talking about holiday hours. If it's Labor Day and your profile says hours might differ, I'm not coming.
Oh, I hate that.
Right. I'm not risking a drive to a locked door. But if it says open in green text, I trust you.
That is a huge friction point for me personally, that hours might differ. Warning is the kiss of death.
Huge. Then you see a professional cover photo that actually looks like the business, not some stock photo of people shaking hands in a bright glass room.
We've all seen those.
But the biggest signal is activity. I see a review from 3 days ago, and this is key. I see a response from the owner.
Okay.
I see a post from last week about a special. It answers 3 questions in a split second for the user. What do they do? Can I trust them? And how do I contact them?
Can I trust them? That's the big one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into this step by step. The guide starts with the technical foundation, and it brings up something called NAP consistency, name, address, phone.
Yes.
Now, to me, this sounds like administrative boredom. Why is this framed as a crucial detail?
It sounds boring, but it is the absolute bedrock of your digital existence. Here is the reality. Google's algorithm is incredibly smart, but it gets confused easily.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It scours the web, your website, social media, Yelp, old directories. It's looking for data about you.
Yeah.
If your website says 123 Congress Street spelled out, yeah, and your Google profile says 123 Congress Saint with a dot.
Wait, seriously? We're talking about an abbreviation.
In 2026, yes, it still matters.
Wow.
It introduces a data discrepancy. To a human, Saint and Street are the same. To a machine, that tiny difference looks like 2 different data points.
That's crazy.
It lowers the confidence score the algorithm has in your location. And when confidence drops, rankings drop. You want 100% exact matches everywhere.
That seems incredibly petty for a $1 trillion algorithm.
It is petty, but you play by the rules or you don't play. And speaking of rules, the source has a massive warning about the business name itself. This is where people get cute and try to game the system.
You mean like naming your business Austin Code Monkey Dash Best SEO and Web Design?
Exactly. That is known as keyword stuffing. It looks like a smart SEO play at first glance. Like, hey, let me put my services right in the title so people see it.
Sure. Seems logical.
But it is a direct violation of Google's guidelines. If your legal business name is just Austin Code Monkey, that is the only thing that belongs in the title field.
No extras.
If you stuff keywords, you risk a suspension. And getting your profile reinstated in 2026 is a nightmare you do not want to deal with.
So keep it clean. Real name only. Let's move to categorization. The guide mentions primary and secondary categories. Feels a bit like a multiple choice test where there's more than one right answer, but one answer is, you know, more right.
There's usually one best answer. Your primary category is the strongest signal you send to Google about what you are. The strategy here is specificity.
Give us an example of how this can go wrong.
Okay, let's say you run a pizza place that happens to have a really nice bar inside. You make 80% of your money selling pizza, but you want to attract the happy hour crowd too.
Okay, makes sense.
If you choose bar as your primary category, you are telling Google you are a drinking establishment first.
Huh?
You might show up for cocktails near me, but you will likely disappear for best dinner near me.
So you're effectively cannibalizing your main revenue stream by chasing a secondary audience.
Exactly. You have to align that primary category with your main revenue driver. Be specific. If you're an SEO agency, choose SEO agency, not the broader marketing agency.
What about the bar and the pizza place?
You use the secondary categories to catch the other traffic. Add bar or cocktail lounge there, but don't confuse the primary signal.
Okay, so we've got the technical foundation laid. We're verified, we're consistent, we're categorized. Now we need to actually sell the business to the human being looking at the screen.
Right.
Let's talk about content and visuals. The guide talks about the description field. You get 750 characters. I feel like most people just copy-paste their about us page here.
Which is usually a massive mistake. The biggest error is fluff. You know the type. We are a world-class premier solution provider established in 1999.
My eyes are glazing over already.
It just wastes valuable character counts. The user doesn't care how long you've been around. They care about what you can do for them right now. The source advises focusing on unique value in specific service areas. Something like Austin Code Monkey helps local Austin businesses improve their online visibility through AI-driven SEO.
Oh.
It's functional, it's keyword-rich, it tells the user exactly what they get.
And then there are the visuals, photos and video.
Yeah.
I feel like this is where a lot of businesses get kind of lazy. They put up a logo, maybe one picture of the front door, and call it a day. Or worse, they use stock photos.
Stock photos are a killer.
Yeah.
Users in 2026 are visual first. They want to see your reality. They want to see the team, the interior of the dining room, the project you just finished.
The guide actually recommends a specific mix, right?
Yes. At least one photo per category. Exterior, interior, team, and work in action.
Why the team photo? Does that really help rankings?
It helps conversion. It humanizes the business. People want to know who they are hiring. But there's a technical side too. Frequency is a signal of life. If the last photo on your profile is from 3 years ago, the algorithm and the customer might wonder if you're still in business.
That's true.
Adding fresh images monthly tells Google, hey, we are still here. We are active.
That leads perfectly into Google Posts. I honestly always forget this feature exists. It's like a social media feed that only lives on Google Maps.
It is the forgotten social network. But it's powerful because of intent.
Intent.
Think about it. When someone sees your Instagram post, they're usually just doom scrolling or bored. When someone sees your Google post, they are actively searching for a solution. They are ready to buy.
But there's a catch with these posts, right? They don't last forever.
No, they are ephemeral. Yeah. They usually stay visible on the main view for only 7 days.
Okay, so it's constant upkeep.
Yes. They are designed for right now. Use them for time-sensitive offers, updates, or events. 20% off lunch this week, new team member joining us.
It signals a pulse.
Exactly. It signals that there is someone behind the wheel.
Moving on to engagement. The guide highlights reviews as a major ranking factor, not just getting 5 stars, but how you handle them. And this is where I have to push back a little. The guide says you need to respond to every review, really. Even the generic 5 stars with no comment.
Every single one.
Isn't that overkill?
Think about it this way. If you walked into a store and complimented the owner and they just stared at you in silence, that would be weird, right?
Yeah, super weird.
Online, silence is rude. But strategically, responding to good reviews is a chance to reinforce keywords.
Oh, interesting.
If someone says, great service, you respond with, thanks. We love providing the best plumbing service in Austin.
I see what you did there. You sneak the optimization into the gratitude.
Exactly. You just reinforced your relevance to the algorithm while being polite to the human.
And for the negative ones.
You have to be professional, acknowledge the issue, offer a solution. But here is a massive warning from the source, and please listen to this.
What's that?
Never, ever ask a customer to delete a negative review.
Does that violate policy?
It violates Google's policy, yes, but it also looks terrible if you get caught. It's actually better to have a negative review with a fantastic professional owner response underneath it.
Because it shows you're real.
It shows you care and that you fix problems. That builds more trust than a perfect sanitized 5.0 rating that looks fake.
Now, here's a feature I hadn't really thought about strategically before reading this. The Q&A section. Usually, I just see random questions there from people asking, are you open? Or is there parking?
And that's the risk. If you leave the Q&A section alone, random people or local guides will answer questions for you.
And they might be wrong.
They might say you're closed when you're open or that you have parking when you don't.
So what's the move? How do we control that?
The strategy is called seeding. You don't have to wait for customers to ask. You, as the business owner, can post the questions yourself and then answer them yourself.
Wait, isn't that talking to yourself?
It's FAQ management. It allows you to control the narrative. Post the question, do you offer gluten-free options? Answer, yes, we have a dedicated gluten-free menu.
Proactive defense.
Exactly. You are populating your profile with accurate, keyword-rich data before anyone else can mess it up.
I love that. Don't wait for the question. Put the answer there first. Okay. Let's shift gears. This is a 2026 guide, so we have to talk about the future tech that is happening right now. Advanced Tactics AI and voice search.
This is where things get really fascinating. We have to talk about SGE.
Google's Search Generative Experience.
Yeah.
For those who've been living under a rock, that's the AI summary that pops up at the very top of the search results now, pushing the regular links down.
Correct. Instead of just a list of blue links, AI is creating a snapshot answer. Here are three plumbers in Austin who are open now and have good reviews for water heaters.
Right.
To get featured in that snapshot, your Google Business profile needs to feed the AI the right data.
How do you do that?
You need to anticipate questions and answer them thoroughly in your description and posts so the AI can read it and serve it up to the user.
It feels like we're optimizing for machines more than people now.
In a way, we are. But the machines are trying to mimic people. Look at voice search. The way we talk to our devices is changing the keywords we need to use.
How so?
Well, we don't type Italian restaurant Austin when we speak.
No, I usually just yell at my phone.
Right. You say, hey, where can I find a good Italian restaurant open now near me? It's conversational. It's a full sentence.
So our content needs to sound like a full sentence.
Exactly. The guide suggests incorporating natural speech patterns into your Google posts and descriptions. Instead of SEO services available, you might write, we help Austin businesses get found on Google.
It matches the intent and the phrasing of a voice search. Write like you speak.
That is a subtle but powerful shift.
Now, for the tech-savvy listeners, the guide mentions something called geotagging photos. What is this, and is it worth the effort?
This is for those who want that extra 1% edge. When you tag a photo with a smartphone, it records the GPS coordinates and the metadata. That's a geotag.
Right.
If you upload those photos to your profile, it helps verify to Google that the image was actually taken at your place of business.
Oh, wow.
It's another layer of trust and location verification. It proves you aren't using a stock photo from a server in another country.
Smart. It's digital proof of life. And while we're being technical, let's touch on UTM tags. This sounds like alphabet soup.
It stands for Urchin Tracking Module, but you don't need to remember that. It's just a short snippet of text you add to the end of your website link in your profile.
Why bother? Doesn't Google Analytics track traffic anyway?
It does, but without a UTM tag, Google Analytics often lumps your profile traffic into generic organic traffic. You can't tell who came from the map pack versus who came from a regular search link.
Ah, I see.
UTM tags let you separate that data. You can say, wow, my Google profile drove 500 clicks last month. It proves the ROI of all the work we're discussing.
Which brings us to the final stretch, maintenance and ROI. Because as we said at the start, you can't just set it and forget it. But honestly, how much work is this? Do I need to be in there every day?
Not every day, but the guide recommends quarterly audits at a minimum. You need to check for new features. Google releases them all the time. Update your photos, check your hours.
And seasonal updates, right?
Yes. This is a big one for perceived freshness.
Mm-hmm.
If it's July and your cover photo still shows holiday decorations and snow,
it looks neglected.
Totally. Upload seasonal images, tax season vibes for accountants in March, summer planting for landscapers in June. It shows you are present.
There's also a defensive aspect to maintenance, right? Fighting spam.
Unfortunately, yes. The local search world can be dirty. You need to monitor for duplicate listings or competitor spam.
What does that look like?
Sometimes a competitor will set up a fake listing near you to steal traffic. If you don't look, you won't know what's happening. You have to report that stuff.
So how do we know if all this work, the photos, the responding to reviews, the seeding Q&A is actually worth it? What are the metrics that matter?
Don't get hung up on views. Views are a vanity metric. Focus on actions, calls, direction requests, website clicks. Those are the money metrics.
Makes sense.
Watch for trends. If calls suddenly drop off a cliff 1 month, go check your profile immediately. Something might be broken or a bad review might have surfaced that you need to address.
The source makes a really compelling argument comparing this to Google Ads.
Yeah.
I think this is really important for business owners to hear.
It's the cost argument. Think of Google Ads as renting an apartment. You pay for visibility. It works great. But the second you stop paying, you disappear. An optimized Google business profile is like a mortgage. It's an asset. You put work into it and it builds equity. It works 24/7.
I love that.
It captures people who are already looking for a solution near me. The ROI is incredibly high because once you rank, you aren't paying for every single click.
That's a great way to frame it. Equity versus rent. So to wrap this up, optimizing your Google business profile isn't just about filling in the blanks. It's about signaling credibility.
Right. It's about signaling credibility to two different audiences. The algorithm, which needs accuracy and consistency like the NAP data, and the human, who needs activity, photos, and engagement. You have to satisfy both.
And as we close out, we always like to leave you with a provocative thought.
Mm-hmm.
something to chew on or explore on your own.
I want you to think about attributes. The source mentions that you can filter searches by very specific things now. Accepts cryptocurrency, wheelchair accessible, veteran-led, women-owned.
Right, you see those little badges on profiles.
Exactly. But here's where it gets interesting. As AI search gets better, people are going to ask much more specific questions. Find me a wheelchair accessible coffee shop that takes crypto.
That is a very niche search.
It is. But if you are that shop and you haven't checked those attribute boxes on your profile, you are invisible to that customer. You effectively don't exist for that search. So the question is, are there attributes of your business you're keeping a secret simply because you didn't click a button?
That is a great question. You might be filtering yourself out of the perfect customer without even knowing it.
Exactly. It's about giving the algorithm every possible reason to choose you.
Well, there you have it. The guide is How to Optimize Your Google Business Profile in 2026 from Austin CodeMonkey. If you're a business owner, your homework is clear. Audit that profile today. Don't let your digital storefront collect dust.
It's the best investment of time you can make this afternoon.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you then.
Austin CodeMonkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin CodeMonkey, working all night. SEO is making rankings take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the code-slinging king of the SEO show.